Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as your scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. So our story today is from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37. I am reading today from the Bible Stories Every Child Should Know. But you're welcome to read the Bible, Pew Bible, on page 1052. But hear now this story. My kids, my friends, are y'all listening? You ready? Okay. Before Jerusalem was burned down, a Jewish priest named Ezekiel was taken away to Babylon. God showed Ezekiel many strange things through visions. It was like having dreams when he was awake. One day, the Lord showed Ezekiel this vision. Ezekiel seemed to be in a valley where the ground was covered with the old dry bones of dead people. And the Lord asked him, "Can these bones live again?" Ezekiel said, "Lord, only you know the answer to that." Then the Lord told Ezekiel to say to the bones, "Dry bones, listen to what God says. I am going to put muscles on you and cover you with skin. I will put breath into you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord." As soon as Ezekiel said this, a strange rattling noise began as the bones came together to form their skeletons. Then muscles grew on them and skin covered them, and soon the bones had bodies again. But they were still dead. Then the Lord told Ezekiel to say to the winds, "Come and blow on these dead bodies so that they will have breath and live again." When Ezekiel said this, the wind blew and the dead bodies began to breathe. They came to life and stood up like a great army. Then the Lord explained to Ezekiel what this vision meant. God said that his people, the Israelites, were like bones that were dry and dead. They had lost all hope of being happy or seeing their own land again, but the Lord would raise them up out of their troubles as he had raised those dry bones to life. "I will put my spirit into their hearts and bring them back to their own land again. Then my people will know that I am the Lord. They will see that I have done what I promised." After this, the Lord told Ezekiel to get two sticks. He said to name one for the kingdom of Israel and the other for the kingdom of Judah. He told Ezekiel to hold the two sticks close together and they would grow into one stick in his hand. Then God said to Ezekiel, "People will ask what this means. Tell them that I will bring my people back to their own land. They will not be divided into the two nations of Israel and Judah anymore, for I will make them one nation again. They will not worship idols anymore either. I will put my spirit into their hearts and make them holy. They will be my people and I will be their God. They will live in the land where their parents lived and their children and grandchildren will live there always. I will be kind to them and give them a good king who will rule over them forever." These are the words of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God for it. Pray with me. Gracious and holy God, on this beautiful day where we have brought a new child into your family, we hear these words of prophecy of how you are the one who can breathe new life into what may seem to be dead. So today, breathe new life into these words that we may hear afresh, that it may stir within us, that we may hear a word of hope and encouragement. So may the words of my mouth and the collective meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. And all God's people said, amen. So truthfully, I thought the operation game would be a very non-scary way to talk about bones, right? I did get on Facebook Marketplace and saw that there was like a full skeleton like for anatomy classes. And I had seriously considered purchasing that and bringing this into the sanctuary. But I'm pretty sure everybody would say, one, it's not Halloween. And two, our pastor has lost her mind. And so I erred on the side of things that are a little bit more tangible to us, right? Well, we know that sometimes we may be walking in the woods and we'll stumble across a pile of little itty-bitty bones, and then we try to imagine, well, what was that, you know? Or I am not a big fan, but whenever I see turkey vultures, I know that there's usually carrion somewhere, and sometimes that's exposed, but it sounds really gross, right? And then when we think about it, be like, man, why? You know, to say, and sometimes we have a hard time reconciling the fact that we have all of these things within us that we cannot see, and sometimes gets exposed in very graphic and real ways, right? And yet we have this story about dry bones in it, and it recalls, how many of you have seen the movie The Lion King, right? And they go to the Valley of Bones, and there's a lot of apprehension and fear because of the way, you know, Simba goes to that space and he sees it, right? It's where there's this history. And then it makes me think again of dinosaurs and fascinated by it, you know, to go to like the natural history and science museums, right? And they've reconstructed and they've had not maybe full skeletons, but they've had to imagine maybe some of those small pieces that have gotten lost over time in order to construct, you know, the fullness. But it's only the bones, right? And so then there comes this imagination of, well, what would the muscle structure look like, right? And then would they have wings? Would they not have wings? Would they have fur? Would they be covered in feathers? So I think the closest thing that we can come to thinking about these old ancient things are chickens and crocodiles, right? Like, we know that there is some of that. And so we imagine that we don't get the fullness, but we do imagine what it can be like if we start to layer these other aspects on it. And in this particular narrative, what we hear is that Ezekiel is in exile. He is in Babylon. And that is because the kingships that Israel had asked for, eventually the kingdoms came under demise, and large groups of God's people were taken into custody in Babylon. They were stripped from their homeland. They were removed from their centers of worship. There was a sense of loss of identity, and who are we now, right? So that is the context. And so Ezekiel is in that place. And for a prophet, one who prophesies, I will remind you that a prophet not only speaks for God to God's people, but a prophet can speak for God to people who may not know God yet. And a prophet can speak to God on behalf of people. So they're kind of like this intermediary communicator, right? To say, here's what God is asking of you. Sometimes there are words of power that are just evoked, like our words have power, they have meaning, they can create realities. We know this because God spoke in creation and it was so, right? That God spoke things into being. Are you ready? It's like, I'm done. Dunzo, mama. Come here. It's just like, no thanks. So we have, you know, this idea of they're in their exile space, right? They hope to someday be able to go back to what is familiar to them. And then we get this really crazy vision, right, of a valley of dry bones, kind of like the one from Lion King, kind of like when we go upon a fossil dig and we see those things. And God says, I will put these bones back together. And so Ezekiel speaks, and all of these bones that would seem like a big jumbled pile mess of nothingness begin to rattle and be created into identifiable structures, right? And then God speaks again through Ezekiel, and that is when we get the flesh. We put the meat on the bones, and then these bodies are truly taking shape, right? The muscle structures, the skin. But even though they have their skeletal structure, even though they have everything necessary to tie it all together, to give it form, they're not yet alive. So what does God do? God calls upon the winds and breathes into these reconstructed bodies and gives them new life. Breathes into them and gives them new life. There are certain moments in our lifetimes where we may experience that. In the birth of a new child, we wait for that, right, where they take their first breath, and then that is what allows them to wail, right? And that gives us our audio cue that that child is breathing. I also know how breath is so important. I remember standing in a hospital room. Maybe I've shared this story before. I was an on-call chaplain. And they said, this patient is going to pass away, but they're waiting for the mother-in-law to arrive. So they were just keeping him alive enough in order for her to be there. And so when she came, we said, it's time. And so we gathered around and laid hands upon this young man whose life was coming to an end. And the medical team were monitoring his heart rate. And in the moment that I said, amen, he stopped breathing. And the medical staff kind of looked at me and they said, he's gone. And it happened right at the moment you said, amen. I had to step out because that was such a holy space that even though his earthly life had ended, he entered into the eternal life, into the full presence, perfected body in the full company of all the saints and more importantly with God. There is something about breath that binds us, that gives us life, and there is a promise there. That when we find ourselves in places of exile where we are disconnected from what is familiar to us, or maybe we find ourselves in a situation that we do not want to be, we are reminded of the promise of God that God will be with us always. And that what is may not always be. And we see that promise through our baptisms. It's why we call upon the water and the Spirit, the very breath of life that God gives us. That we called upon the Spirit for sweet Reese, and we will do with Miss Emma next week and for all of you. That God's breath is within you through the power of the Holy Spirit, making you a new creation. Allowing you the strength and the means to live this life that God hopes and intends for you. That is the promise. That is what we cling to. And I also know that sometimes we forget our baptismal covenant. Sometimes we forget about what we speak for or speak against. We forget that we too are called to be prophets just like Ezekiel, to speak out against injustice, or to speak a word of hope when things seem fractured and lost to us. that it is the Spirit of God that will bind us and knit us together, drawing us to receive the gift of God's grace. That is the promise. That is the hope. That is what God is offering to us every day. So I could say sometimes we're all a bag of dry bones, right? And sometimes we need to put a little meat on ourselves, muscles and skin. But what we really need is the breath of God working in our lives. The Spirit that imbibes us. So I'm going to invite you now, take a deep breath with me. Will you inhale? Exhale. Did you feel God? Do you feel like you were knitted together? It's just a little bit more in the taking of that breath. That's the promise. That's love of God for you today. Let us not be a valley of dry bones. Let us be that wonderful army of saints who answer God's call to share love and grace and God's promises in the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.